The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, we're joined for the week trending by Donal O'Donoghue, Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment, and also by Roe McDermott, who, of course, is film editor with Hot Press and advice columnist with the Irish Times. Let's start, Roe, with a video which has circulated on social media in the last hour or so, and which has been commented upon by Fine Gael members who appear to believe that it is an accurate depiction of something which happened today. Can you describe what appears to be an assault on Taoiseach Leo Varadkar?
Yeah, so the video is, it's a very short video and it is circulating online, but it's Leo Varadkar seems to be preparing to give an address. There's a film crew and a young woman walks up, seems to have a brief interaction with some of the camera crew, then walks towards Leo Varadkar and throws what I think is a smoothie at him and is covered. So it's an incredibly short video, so there isn't much context to it. But it seems that what this woman has been doing, or what this individual is doing, is echoing a movement that has been taken over in the UK and the United States in the past few years, which is the act of what's called milkshaking. And it's an act that of people throwing milkshakes literally at politicians and social leaders. So one was thrown at Niall Farage last year. There were far right figures running for European Parliament who have also been met with this kind of dairy centric direct action. So anti-racist protesters, they targeted people like Tommy Robinson, the former leader of the English Defence League, with milkshakes on multiple occasions. There's Carl Benjamin, who is an alt-right YouTube personality who has made horrible misogynistic comments, and he was milkshaked about four times in the past week. So it seems to be echoing that. But I think the idea behind milkshaking, as has been kind of understood in the UK and America, is a kind of humiliation. And it's a act that a lot of people would deem to be kind of low level in terms of the violent effect of it. It's not meant to injure people, but it's taking people who have an incredible amount of power and use that power to marginalize people and to humiliate them publicly, because that's not something that they're used to doing or used to being on the receiving end of, but they're used to humiliating and dehumanizing other people. So that's been kind of the organized rhetoric around it so far. One individual doing it around to Leo Varadkar seems to be an individual action, and the motivations might be very different, but it seems to be echoing that action. But whether it's part of a growing movement or whether it was one opportunistic person taking quite extreme action towards the Taoiseach show when he was trying to deliver a public address is yet to be seen.
Yeah, he was filming something, and you say it was a smoothie or a milkshake or something like that. A lot of people were speculating, was it coffee? You would hope that it wasn't, because a hot drink could actually do considerable physical damage to somebody. But whatever, Donal O'Donoghue, whatever type of drink it was, surely it still constitutes an assault. And no matter what anyone might think of the person on the receiving end, I remember when it happened to Nigel Farage, I think we said in this programme, you know, whatever you might think of Nigel Farage, that is not an appropriate way of having political discourse.
Yeah, it's an absolute disgrace. And yeah, I don't see many people walking around Merrion Square, Dublin 2, drinking milkshakes. It seems to be all lattes and cappuccinos and all that kind of stuff. But it begs a couple of questions. First of all, I know we're, you know, hardly the States with the Secret Service, but you'd wonder, you know, where's the protection for, you know, the Taoiseach there in a situation like that? Because I thought it was absolutely disgraceful. You can disagree with somebody's politics, but that is an assault.
And it's amazing the amount of people on social media today who were making a laugh of it, or who were endorsing it. It was a degree of nastiness, and anyone who actually complained about it was accused of clutching their pearls or whatever. A real low-level discourse in relation
absolutely
to social media.
I mean, if that happened, you know, to your partner, or to your brother, or to your father, or any relative, anybody, we would be absolutely disgraced and appalled. And I think it's absolutely disgusting, to be honest with you.
Okay, but let's move on. Sorry, do you want to have a word there, Roe, or not?
Yeah, just on the Twitter discourse, like, I am far from a fan of Leo Varadkar and have a lot of criticisms, but I have also seen a lot of people saying, I disagree with Leo Varadkar, but that is absolutely unacceptable. So I don't think it's a down the line, everybody on Twitter is saying this. And again, I think there are a lot of things to criticise. And I really hope that both politicians in Ireland don't echo the sentiments that have been echoed or have been said in the UK and America, and the kind of outright racism and bigotry. And I think we've, to a certain extent, resisted a lot of that extremism. And I also hope people's response resists that kind of extremism.
They actually, as it happens as well, just Donal, on this, the woman who was responsible, she was wearing a backpack. She was also wearing a face mask. And she threw it and then she ran away, not particularly quickly. And it seems like the camera crew were just completely taken by surprise by her actions, so they didn't chase her down. But would you, what do you think the Gardaí should be doing in a situation like that? Should they be treating it as a straightforward assault?
I think it's a tricky one for the Taoiseach, because it should be treated as an assault and the person should have been pursued. And, you know, if the Gardaí have access to CCTV footage, you know, like, it is an assault, regardless, as we said, of whether you disagree with a politician's politics. But it sounds as though the person made a slow speed getaway. Which just begs the question of how we protect our public figures.
Okay, well, let's move on. And there's some stories this week to talk about. Roy McDermott, talk to us about Van Morrison.
Van Morrison. So Van Morrison has been kind of celebrated in the past few weeks because it's an anniversary of his career in music. And so people, like particularly Hot Press, have been doing events to celebrate kind of his cultural legacy. But now he has taken up the anti-mask stance and is saying that masks are taking away our freedom. And he's releasing a song called Born to Be Free, where the lyrics include things like, don't need the government cramping my style. And is saying that the mandate to wear a mask is taking away people's freedom and choice. And I think, unfortunately, Van Morrison, like a lot of these anti-mask advocates, if you want to call them that, to be quite generous, they're ignoring the fact that people always have choices, but some choices are immoral or illegal, and those choices sometimes have consequences. And I think what's interesting about the whole anti-mask debate is that there is a through line with anti-mask people and also conspiracy theorists. And what it is, it seems to be, and you know, some psychologists have been writing about this, is that it's based on this inability to grasp that some realities of life are uncomfortable and distressing and random. And the pandemic is kind of the epicenter of this, because, of course, it was unexpected. It's invisible. And there's this huge loss of control that comes with that. And a fear or an emotional reaction that anti-mask people seem to be having is thinking that it must be a conspiracy, because that is an explanation. And that is actually a more comforting response, because then there's a real and palpable enemy who can be defeated. And so in this case, it's the idea of COVID is a hoax, masks aren't necessary, and it's just the government telling us to do this to take away our freedom, in opposed to saying there is a real threat out there. It is invisible. It's somewhat intangible, and we need to work together on this. And so it keeps striking me as such a psychologically immature stance to take. And it's this fear of a loss of control. And I don't think it's coincidence that a lot of these movements are being led by somewhat older men, because it's people who are not used to having a loss of control. And that is what they're responding to. And sadly, yeah, for a cultural figure that has long been celebrated in Ireland, Van Morrison has fallen down that hole and is becoming quite embarrassing, frankly.
And down the hole as well, Noel Gallagher of Oasis, Ian Brown of the Stone Roses. And yet they've found that somebody who is taking them on is Jedward, Donal. Whoever thought that Jedward would enter the culture wars via Twitter in such a prominent fashion?
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, I know a couple of things about Jedward. I know they were on X Factor, and I know that they've got silly haircuts, but they have just given us Twitter gold warfare this week. So they had a spat with Jim Corr over face masks, and Jedward are flying the flag in favour of face masks. But they got stuck into Piers Morgan because they had tweeted something about J.K. Rowling's new novel, where it's a story where there's a killer who dresses as a woman to kill men, and she's made comments in the past that probably were against the trans community, and Jedward have kind of tweeted something that her book could be used as firewood or something like that.
The idea of burning books is not something that should ever be endorsed or celebrated, no matter what you think of them.
No, absolutely, but that's what got Piers Morgan stuck into them, and he recommended burning their back catalogue of music, which I couldn't name one of their songs, but that's probably a better move than burning books. But this started this whole thing where they're getting stuck into peers. They're getting a bit of relevance again and we're talking about them. But it didn't stop there. They had a brilliant tweet with Ian Brown of the, I was going to say the Stone Roses, is it the Stone
yes.
Roses? Yeah. Where they said, your music and cheekbones are a dream, but your tweets are a nightmare. I thought that was Jedward Gold. They're just on fire on there. Then they got stuck into Noel Gallagher because Noel Gallagher is one of these anti-maskers as well, and he's dropping F-bombs saying he's not going to wear the mask, and if everyone's wearing masks then he won't get it. So Jedward took him to task and got stuck into Noel, and they signed the tweet from Jedward and Liam. You've got to love them.
Okay, but at the same time, it does strike me on the J.K. Rowling one, it's amazing actually, Ro. She used to be a hate figure for the right, who sort of has saw all sorts of stuff in Harry Potter, which they regarded as being dreadful stuff undermining society. Now she's a hate figure for the left because of opinions she has expressed in relation to trans people. But what is fascinating as well is the amount of people who seem to have condemned her new novel without even having read it.
Well, okay, first of all, I think my litmus test for J.K. Rowling is when the Harry Potter books came out and I was quite young. I have a relative who is an Opus Dei Republican living in the States and is quite extreme in their views. And they wrote a letter to my parents saying they hoped I wasn't allowed to read this book that encourages young people to go against authority figures.
And I bet you read all seven, didn't you?
Loved them, yeah. And now with J.K. But J.K. Rowling has, unfortunately, just obsessively become a transphobic bigot and has obsessively used her platform over the past few years to denigrate trans people, to present trans people as posing a danger to society. When one in four trans people at least experiences a bias-driven assault, a lot of them face a lot of bigotry. There is literally an epidemic of black trans people being murdered in the United States because they are trans. However, she is presenting these myths that have been absolutely repeatedly debunked by research, saying that people pretend to be trans, that men dress up as women in order to go into bathrooms and assault women. And it's this fear-mongering that has been repeatedly disproven. Trans people are actually more likely to be victims of assault in a bathroom by transphobic people. And she spent several years now being transphobic online and gathering people together to unite under this anti-trans propaganda. And now she was releasing a book and the main plot is a man who dresses in women's clothing to kill women, which is exactly the type of fear-mongering myth that she has been propagating for the last few years. So I think she has created a situation where the plot of that would be questionable anyway, because it plays into a lot of pre-existing fears and tropes we've seen throughout pop culture. If you look at Silence of the Lambs, they similarly had a plot where a serial killer dressed in women's clothing, and the director has since come out and apologized for that and realized how that plays into transphobic myths and stigma. But J.K. Rowling has been saying that these myths are true for so long that, of course, when people read the plot of that, they said, you are a transphobic person. You've repeatedly proven that. And now you're writing a book that furthers this stigma. So I think people's reaction, JK, people can say the reaction to this is without context because they haven't read the book. J.K. Rowling has created the context.
Okay. The
last thing I'll say, Jedward summed it up beautifully. They said it matters not what someone is born, but what they grow to be. Jedward's tweets do it again.
Okay, Donal O'Donoghue, MD of Sanderson Recruitment, has stayed with us for the week, trending along with Ro McDermott, who, of course, amongst her many roles in journalism, is advice columnist with the Irish Times. So what would you have said to the woman who took a bus from Limerick to walk on the prom in Saltill in Galway with her then boyfriend in the middle of the COVID-19 lockdown?
I think the first thing I would have said to her genuinely was that I have so much empathy for her in her situation. And I think something that has been a really interesting conversation that's happening kind of worldwide is the fact that during lockdown, obviously, all of us have been separated from loved ones and it's been incredibly difficult for everybody. But I think something that has been highlighted was the fact that there are people who have life partners and are, you know, are in serious relationships and have chosen for whatever reason not to marry. And they or have in some countries are not able to marry, and they have been under more restrictions on their relationships than people who are either married or happen to be living together or living close to other people. So there have been countries across the European Union and Europe generally, like Austria, Germany, Italy, Sweden, Norway, and they have brought in allowances that said if you have a life partner who lives in another country or in another area, you can get an exemption from the restrictions so that you can see your partner in the same way that people who live with their partner and are married can see them. Because COVID has essentially turned a lot of relationships into long distance relationships. So I would say I completely empathize. And I think this is a struggle facing a lot of people right now, that you're suddenly separated from your loved one. And also, she traveled on April 15th when the country was on severe restrictions and lockdowns and everybody was sacrificing.
Yeah, she was found on a bus air and bus
behavior. But I think we can have empathy and also condemn the behaviour and understand the impulse to see a loved one.
Yeah, she was found on a bus air and bus at a guarded checkpoint. She was on her way from Limerick to Galway to walk on the prom with her then boyfriend. She has received a fine of €100 for that. I mean, is that fair? That you actually get a criminal conviction? Don't you think so?
I think it is, because I didn't, when I read the article, I didn't think that she was travelling from Limerick to Galway to see the boyfriend. I thought she was travelling from Limerick to Galway with the boyfriend, because the article I read talked about the co-accused being, what was his name, Martin Desmond, who also has an address in Limerick. So the way I read the article,
he's pleading not guilty and he's contesting the charge.
Yeah, he's pleading not guilty. He's contesting the charge. But the way I read it is that the two of them were on the bus going for a walk in Galway. So I think, the judge in question, Judge Durkin, when he looked at the facts, imposed the fine because he found her guilty. So
she did lie. The Gardaí, yeah. She was on her way to see a sick relative in Galway.
She went with the Little Red Riding Hood story that she was off to visit a sick relative. So I don't know, if the two of them were on the bus going for a walk in the middle of lockdown, maybe the €100 is fair. Maybe it's life.
Another story which is capturing the attention today is in relation to a group of 40 people who stayed at a hotel in Tullamore in Offaly earlier in September. Apparently many of them on a golfing holiday, 20 of them have tested positive for COVID-19. This comes now as we'll be talking at length after 5 o'clock about the government's decision, which has been confirmed, to close restaurants and bars, indoor dining, as part of the move to level 3 for Dublin. But what about Dublin people and anyone maybe moving around the country, possibly bringing the virus with them, Ro?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I would have a lot less empathy for this group of people. So it was an annual trip. It was 40 people, the Entertainers Golf Society. Now, these people have already suffered a tragedy. One of their members died at the hotel and they said that it's unrelated to COVID. But subsequently, 20 people in their group were found to be infected with COVID and they haven't released the details around them. And to be honest, if people are facing a tragedy and doctors have signed off and said this death wasn't related to COVID, I'm not very interested in interrogating people at a time of grief. But I think the whole idea of this trip and the problem around this trip is not only they said they were following restrictions, but not only did they plan for a huge group of people to meet together and congregate in a hotel, but they were also socializing in a number of bars and restaurants and pubs around Tullamore. So not only were they endangering the people in the staff of the hotel and the pub and the restaurants, but also endangering the community members of Tullamore who might have been socializing in a responsible way in those areas. And so I think it is just somewhat baffling at a time like this. And I haven't had official confirmation of this, but heard that a lot of the members of this group were a little bit older and have been isolated and really haven't had a lot of social interaction since kind of March, April. And again, understandable that people would be lonely and understandable that people would want interaction.
And they see the Oireachtas Golf Society doing it.
Sorry, say that again, Mark.
They saw the Oireachtas Golf Society doing it and they thought maybe if they were doing it in a smaller number, it was all right.
Well, I think I would hope that they also heard the vast amount of criticism in the Golf Society, the Oireachtas meeting up. But I think to go from nothing to 40 people in opposed to saying this year we're going to have to meet up separately, maybe in smaller groups of 5 in different areas and maintaining a very stringent following of the rules and just a bit of common sense, like it is unfortunately slightly baffling.
Last word to you, Ms. Donal O'Donoghue.
Yeah, I just think it's a good reminder, everybody's getting COVID fatigue at this stage, but it's a good reminder of a group of 40, 20 of them testing positive. I think it's just a reminder for us all to be on guard and to not engage in that kind of thing.
Thank you very much for being with us, Donal O'Donoghue and Ro McDermott.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.